Ladies and gentlemen, I have a young man on the phone right now who I'm a great fan of. I wrote about him in my column last week, and they had a picture of his beautiful, beautiful restaurant that he's just opened at the back of the Philharmonic, and it's called The Art School. Hello, Paul Askew.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Wasn't that a nice article?
It was beautiful. Thank you very much. Yeah, and the artist was absolutely chuffed as well to get a mention, so thank you so much.
Well, yeah, but it was such great, a nice story to think that a friend of yours who worked for you in one of your bars eventually, turns out he's an artist, he gets through university because of you, because you're helping him financially, and then you ask him to do this amazing piece of art for your restaurant, which is his old classroom. I mean,
I know, it's
what
incredible,
a story.
Isn't it?
Yeah. What a story.
Yeah. Well, it's really set. It's really finished the room off perfectly. I couldn't have been happier with him, to be honest. So, well done to Monsieur Mural, as he's now known. So. Yeah.
This is the room that you can't get into without three knocks on a door.
It is a bit. It's like Liverpool's best kept secret at the moment, isn't it? It's our little speakeasy. But hopefully, as the word goes around, I suppose the little speakeasy tag tends to slip a little bit, doesn't it? And people find a new eating place, a new watering hole, hopefully. So. And yeah, it's going good. It's
you've
going
always good. Said, and we're going to talk about the food festival, you've always maintained that we can put our fingers up now to southern restaurants because we've now come out of the desert. You, I know, it with your new restaurant, want to take it to a new level. Let's talk about the way food has changed in this amazing city.
Well, the last 10, 15 years have just been meteoric, and especially the last five, I think, really. I mean, ever since Liverpool One opened up, you know, we've got every sort of national brand and chain in the city, and you know, every city needs that. And I've always said that you need everything from the best greasy spoon right the way through to all the Wagamamas, Yo Sushis, all the other brands, Jamie's Kitchen, whoever it is. And you also need a group of independents at the top who are sort of pushing the levels, if you like, and showing the cuisine and the products of our region. And that's how you get sort of food tourism, and the provenance of food becomes so important. And I think for us, Liverpool has now become a really grown-up city of food culture. You know, it's really gone leaps and bounds.
Paul, why were we in a desert for so long?
I think, personally, for me, what had happened was that I think the economic and social situation in the city when we were struggling to... I mean, I remember, you know, when people talk about recessions and... People in Liverpool used to say, well, we've had a 30-year recession in Liverpool. We've not known anything else. And I think what happened was that we had a huge sort of gap of our food culture. And plain and simply, we didn't have the money to spend on it. We didn't have that idea of sort of branching out and trying new things. It just was beyond our sort of vision as a city. And then all of a sudden, as the regeneration came in, as the student population grew, Capital of Culture came along, the buildings increased, that you know, the optimism and the pride came back into the city. And of course, I think, as all proud Scousers do, we know how to have a good time. And you know, why, as we've just said, why shouldn't we have capital city standards in Liverpool? Why shouldn't we have a Michelin star? Why shouldn't we have the best bar? It's been incredible. I think because there was such a void, I think it's grown so fast that we really now are in this perfect position to push on to the top now, you know.
Here's something we never talk about, and we're going to talk about now, which is incredibly important, and you are a great advocate of this. We talk about chefs, we talk about how fantastic everything is, but we're also getting amazing suppliers up here, aren't we, which give you another level for the food.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely, you know, incredible. We can have... micro herbs and salads grown to order now. We can get baby vegetables grown to order. I mean, the meat scene and the fish and seafood scene. And I mean, the local suppliers are just beyond belief. I mean, they're winning national awards now, not just regional and local awards. I mean, you know, Callum Edge over on the World has just won the Radio 4 National Award for Best Supplier of Meat and his animal husbandry and all that. I mean, this is fifth generation butcher shop on the World, you know, and there's many others, you know, Ward's in the fish market there, Claremont Farm, all the market gardeners out in Ormskirk and Orton there, the Southport. I mean, the stuff is just stunning, honestly. It really is. And I think, you know, when you look at sort of international food culture, and particularly in Europe and provincial France and Spain, they go to certain areas for certain dishes, don't they? And my dream in the long run is that we become known for something a little bit more interesting than just a pan of scouse. Not decrying scouse, because I love it, but what I mean is, because our food culture is so much more sophisticated now, we've got to be known for other things too. You know, it's amazing.
I'm glad you mentioned the suppliers, because it is a different world. It ain't out of a bag. It ain't out of a frozen cabinet.
No.
It is all about, and it's as important for you as a chef. I mean, I remember on the ships, because in my day, when you were a child on the Empress of Canada, we didn't have anything frozen. It was all brought in like it is today. It's gone back, hasn't it, in reverse?
It has. I think, you know, what all the various, you know, sort of food crises have taught us over the years is that fresh is best. And, of course, we've got all these health scares, you know, about how much... you know, your five-a-days and all these things, and is free-range meat better than commercial meat, and what chemicals go into supermarket meat to make it last longer, and everybody's just so much more tuned in to where the meat comes from and where the fish comes from and why we're eating it. Is it sustainable? It's so nice to see people's interest. And at the end of the day, you know, food for me is not just about fuel. You know, we look after ourselves, we look after our bodies, hopefully. But what I mean is, food and drink is a true pleasure of life, you know, and I think people are seeing that now and spending more time cooking, and you know, they've seen the how relaxing and how beneficial it can be when it's in the right environment. I mean, there's nothing better than seeing a restaurant full of happy people being, you know, enjoying good wine, good food, and enjoying each other's company. You know, there's nothing better than that.
Somebody asked me to ask you, when I said I was doing an interview with you today, I won't mention who it was, you can guess, but I won't. They want to know, when you go home and you want to cook yourself something, do you just throw something together, or is it...
That's funny. It's, well, you know, when I'm off duty, I do try and cook nice meals, because I always feel guilty. I haven't seen my wife and my son for so long, so I try and spoil them a little bit and get some brownie points in, you know. I'm convinced that's the only reason she married me anyway. But when I come home from work myself, I tend to sit down, because you're sort of still a bit wired and a bit, you know, your mind's whizzing and you're still high on the adrenaline of service. I tend to sit down with a glass of wine or a glass of beer, and I'll make myself like a ham and cheese toasted sandwich or something really simple. Of course, when you're in the kitchen, you feel like you've tasted the whole menu, and you're tasting sauces and checking for seasoning and textures of things. So you really do crave something completely different. But when I'm off, I always, you know, I'll go to the farm shop, or I'll go out and buy something nice. And particularly on a Sunday, we try and have a really good meal together, you know, and it sets off the week. Yeah.
Liverpool Food and Drink Festival has gone from strength to strength, and I believe the weather forecast is fantastic.
Well, if it's anything like today, it's going to be amazing, isn't it? We'll talk about Indian summer. We've really, really... It just felt like the middle of July today, didn't it?
It did indeed. It's beautiful.
But I went down on site today. We've got a pop-up restaurant. There's two pop-up restaurants this year. Pickled Walnut are doing a gastro pub. And we're doing a mini art school restaurant down there for about 50 covers with a bar. But the site looks absolutely amazing. There's over 160 different chefs from different restaurants, about 80 bars. There's live entertainment. There's, you know, stuff for the kids to do to learn how to cook. It's just amazing. Year on year, it grows and grows. And I think this is year 8 or 9 now. And, you know, we're expecting 40,000 people in 2 days in Sefton Park. You know, I mean, there's even a Friday night in tomorrow night with the biggest pub quiz in Great Britain, apparently, tomorrow night. Trying to get going. And, you know, a real celebration of British food culture. So, again, like I said before, there's everything from a bacon butty or a hog roast right the way through to a three-course meal at the art school with a glass of champers, you know. So
the biggest shock for me, Paul, was the queues outside last time I went. I just got there and I went, oh my word.
It's staggering, isn't it? I mean, I remember 10 years ago, and again, I won't name names, but there were some very high-profile food journalists and critics up in Liverpool, and they were referring to us as a food desert there, culinary desert, they called us. And I was talking to them about how we wanted to get a food festival going in the city and celebrate the farmers' markets and the producers. And they literally laughed in my face and said, why on earth would you want to do that in Liverpool? And here we are nearly 11 years on with 40,000 people trying to get in to Sefton Park to have the biggest hoolie of the year. I mean, you know, I'd like to see them come back and do a review on us now. You know, it's amazing how things can change.
Do you know the saddest thing about the food festival? Going home. Because when the weather's like this, you're with lovely people, there's so much to do, you actually don't want to go home.
Well, I think this is why they've added the third day, Peter, to be honest, because I think, you know, tomorrow night from 6 till 9, you're gonna get a little sneak preview. And then if you bought your ticket, you can go back Saturday and Sunday, and anything you've missed you can just keep popping in and out, you know. So it's a fabulous way to do it. But as you say, there's so much. You're almost hard pushed to get it all into one day, aren't you? You know, it's remarkable. It really is.
To anybody that's listening now that never even thought of going up there, with this weather, because the weather does make it, you'll get the shock of your life when you see what's up there. Go with an empty stomach. Go feeling hungry, because I promise you there is something for everyone. And the atmosphere is electric.
Oh, it's fantastic, yeah. I mean, there's nothing better. As we said earlier, you know, the conviviality of the city, and we all know that Liverpool knows how to enjoy itself and kick its shoes off and have a bit of a hoolie. And for me, it's like a harvest festival meets booze up meets a rock concert. I don't know. There's just something for every. It's amazing. I absolutely love it. You know, I really do.
You mentioned several times that you want to take food to another level, and you'd like to have the first Michelin star in this city. How does it work? Tell us briefly how it works.
Well, basically, the thing with Michelin is that it's about consistent excellence. So there is no printed criteria, there is no guidelines that you follow. What you do is you do the food to the best of, you know, the best of the best that you can do, offering something that is you know, of notoriety and something of the region and something that people should be recommended to travel to. And then, of course, you focus on the service, the ambience, the wine list, the gastronomic matchings of wine and food. It's the devil is in the detail, to be honest, Pete. And it is everything. You know, the level is extremely high and extremely hard to achieve. But I just think, you know, Liverpool has that desire and has that appetite now to sustain a Michelin-starred restaurant. I think, you know, it needs more people than me to want it, I suppose, is what I'm saying. It needs, you know, the public of the city to say, actually, we do want one, and we will come and try these new dishes and try the pairings that you're doing, and, you know, and really push on, and that will attract other independent restaurants. And before you know it, we're going past Birmingham and Manchester, and, you know, I mean, Birmingham has 3 or 4 Michelin star restaurants now, and it all stemmed from one. And I think that's the way to go for us. You know, when we attract different kinds of tourists, then, and, you know, it's a different ball game. Then.
Right. Now, you told us that, but then how do you get the star? Does somebody recommend you, or do they watch you? Or
it's largely from customer reviews. In every Michelin guide that is sold, there's little pieces of paper and little envelopes inside them that where you can write off to recommend restaurants or give them review ratings of places that you believe are worthy of the standard. Obviously, if an inspector comes and they have a good experience, then you tend to get inspected more regularly. And obviously, it's then all about how consistent you are over regular visits. And I mean, if to get a star, they might come 7 or 8 times in a year to try and they'll come on different days, they'll come in different groups. They'll come on a day when they think you might be off, and it's all about, is it still as excellent every service? Is it still hitting that note? And that's what it's about. That's what we've got to strive for, you know.
Paul, is it all over the world?
It is absolutely global. I mean, believe it or not, Tokyo is the city with the highest number of Michelin-starred restaurants. Because, food is an art form. And then you've got places like San Sebastian in the Basque Country where there's a population of something like 250,000, and they have the highest percentage of Michelin stars per capita in the world. Yeah. I mean, something like 3 stars, 4 2 stars. I mean, the Basque Country is just amazing, and I've been a big studier of that area, actually. I'm a big fan of that cuisine as well, but it's amazing.
Now, you've told us all that. Now, that you said about art form. I remember many, many years ago, doing a buffet, I did a wild pig. I actually braised a wild pig.
No, I did the whole pig.
In the garden. I did it in the garden as a 21st. We did a Hawaiian night. And we did this incredible buffet. And I was standing there with a knife if anybody touched it, because I was getting really angry. Now, the point I'm making is...
You do feel a bit like that sometimes.
Well, the point I'm making is you supply, you present me with a dish, which is an art form. And if I'm with somebody who eats too fast, you want to punch them because they've got to enjoy it. But you also don't want to spoil... So what do we do?
Well, for me, the job satisfaction for chefs, and well, for me certainly, I'm speaking from my personal job satisfaction, is when I've sent a dish out and the feedback comes into the kitchen, oh, that was, you know, amazing, best thing I've ever tasted. Whatever positive feedback comes back like that, that just makes you feel like $1 million. So for me, it's purely about a little piece of my personality, a little piece of my hospitality going on every plate that leaves the pass. So that everybody feels how well they've been looked after, how, you know, hopefully how lucky they are to have the food, and, you know, it's a very giving job, and you know, sometimes you get a bit burnt out because you're giving a little too much, but genuinely that's where the satisfaction of a chef comes from. It's that whole look at, you know, this is my little piece of art. We don't hang it on the wall, but we ask people to taste it and take it for what it is, and It's lovely, that, you know, it really is.
So Friday to Sunday is the Liverpool Food and Drink Festival. It's an exciting night. How would you sell it to people? People are listening there thinking, I'll have a bit of that. What would you say?
Well, I would just say, if you've never been before, you are missing out in a massive, massive way. Even if you just want to come and have a walk around the park and pick up the atmosphere, it's worth going just for that and listen to the music. But I guarantee you, as you walk around, you will taste things that you find absolutely incredible. You will buy stuff. You will end up going home with a couple of bags of shopping. And it is just the best fun. So I couldn't think of anything else to say other than come and kick your shoes off, undo a belt buckle, and sit down and stuff your faces. There you go.
And how many nights are you? How many nights are you open at the art school? And are you open lunch?
We do Tuesday to Saturday, lunch and dinner every day. We don't open on a Sunday and a Monday just yet. I think what we want to do is basically, because of our integrity of ingredients and our philosophy, we don't open when the fish market's not open. And also, I like to give the staff 2 days off together so that we've always got our A team on duty, and we're always coming in fresh on a Tuesday ready for the week. So, you know, come and join us. Come and see us. I hope you love the space. It's a great dining experience, and, you know, we're ready and waiting to look after all our lovely Liverpool friends. So,
Paul Askew, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, sir.